Welcome to the podcast, Let the Prophet Speak. Today we continue our study of the book of Job, that is Sefer Iyov. We are about to study chapter 3, Perek Gimel. At the end of chapter 2, we read of the tragic and awful suffering that Iyov was put through. We learned how Iyov had lost his children, had lost his entire wealth, had lost his position in the society that he lived in. And then he was afflicted by a terrible skin disease, covered his body, covered with boils that gave him pain and itching, and he was lying in ashes and scratching against broken pieces of earthenware. And we ended the chapter on how his friends, and all of this was a challenge to Iyov, because the Satan had told God, Iyov, of course he is a Tam V'Yashar, of course he is a good and upright and righteous person that is faithful to you, because everything is good for him. But if you made it bad for him, if you made him suffer, he wouldn't be such a faithful servant of yours. So God allowed this suffering to happen to Iyov in order to test him. Now, Iyov, going through this terrible, terrible, awful suffering, obviously Iyov has no idea of this heavenly conversation that we just discussed. And it's important to point out, and I'm going to be pointing this out as we study the book, that Iyov was a perfectly righteous person. Nowhere in this book does God ever suggest, or does anyone ever does God ever suggest that that Iyov was not deserving of a good and wonderful life, the kind of life that he had lived prior to being struck with all of this tragedy? Nowhere is it suggested that Iyov could possibly have deserved this. We are privy to this information because we heard the first two chapters. Iyov and the other people that we're going to hear about are not privy to this information. And we're going to learn how Iyov handles this, and we're going to learn how Iyov's friends, the three friends who just visited him, sat with him quietly for 7 days as Iyov mourned. And now Iyov is about to begin to speak. And as we hear Iyov go through these thoughts, obviously, it would be very difficult for most of us, thankfully, to think what we would think about or how we would handle this terrible, terrible, awful amount of suffering. Unfortunately, in our recent past, we can look back at the Holocaust. We can look back at victims of other terrible, terrible, terrible things, unfortunately, that occurred even more recently, and how they might look at this kind of suffering and how it might change their attitude towards God. And the ultimate religious question that every person has to challenge himself or herself with when they go through something like this is there a God? And if there is, does he even care? Is there such a thing as justice? Or maybe there is no such thing as justice. Maybe it's all just haphazard. Maybe the world just goes in its natural way, but there's no reason for all of this. There's no meaning in all of this. These are thoughts that can come to all of us. And we have to watch as Iyov grapples with these questions, knowing that he's innocent, knowing that he was faithful to God, and knowing that he did not deserve this terrible suffering. What now? How does Iyov handle this? And each when he asks these questions and when he mourns his suffering, this gives us permission to go through this same process. This is a process, and this process is going to take the entire book. And we're going to have a process of give and take back and forth. We're going to hear all kinds of ideas be mentioned and be thought about and be suggested back and forth. And most importantly, we're going to focus on how does Iyov handle this terrible test that he has been put through. So today we are going to see how he begins to handle this terrible problem. Acharechein, after sitting for 7 silent days, pasach Iyov et piu, Iyov opened his mouth, vayikalel et yomo, and he cursed his day. Presumably his day means he cursed the day that he was born. This is the end of the parsha, the segment, in the way the it's divided according to the Jewish tradition. Although, remember the numbers, the chapter 3 starts here because of the way it was numbered from Christian sources, but this is, became the standardized number. So this last verse that it starts chapter 3 that I just read is really the end of the previous one. At this point, the nature of the text completely changes. It changes from a narrative, a language where it was telling a story, the story of God and Satan and Eov and his friends and so on, and it changes into biblical poetry. It changes into the same type of language that one finds in many of the prophets as they speak their prophecies in a poetic language, and in the books of wisdom like Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. So the poetry here is key. It's also, Eov is particularly renowned for both its beauty and in many cases the difficulty in translating Eov. Remember, it's not 100% clear exactly when Eov, the book, was written, but we're going to go on the assumption that it was written at some time in the end of the First Temple period, just because of the references to where Eov lived and because of various other stylistic and linguistic things. Obviously, this is not it's not 100% clear. However, regardless, the language being used is Hebrew, but there's a lot of influence from other Semitic languages that were being spoken in that time, most specifically Aramaic, and some cases even an older form of Arabic as well. And some of the words that appear in Eov are either unique to Eov or very rare words that we don't find very often, if at all, in the rest of the Bible, which makes it tough to translate some of these verses. I might touch on some of these issues of translation when we get to some verses. I'm not going to focus on it too much. I'm going to try my best to pick a translation that reads well. The other point I want to make is, as we read through this type of poetic literature, if you understand the Hebrew, wonderful, then you will see the just absolutely stunning beauty. And, I mean, in this case, it's a beautiful language, but it's also harrowing and awful in some cases, just to listen to the suffering. But this is art, and you have to remember that it is these types of languages being used to evoke emotions and help us feel what Eov is feeling as he says words like he's going to say, as he's going to express himself. If you do not understand Hebrew, try to listen anyway, because there's beauty just to the sound and the meter of the words. But here we go with the words. I'm beginning with verse 2, Vayan Eov Vayomar, and Eov then spoke and said as follows. This word Vayan can sometimes mean answer, but often it means spoke, like stood up and spoke out words of wisdom. Yovad yom ivaled bo vihalaila amar horag gaver. May that day upon which I was born perish, and that night as well, the night during which it was said a man has been conceived. Eov thinks to himself how terrible the suffering is, and what is the meaning of this all? If all I was meant to do was suffer in this way, and all of the good deeds that I did in my life were meant to end up in this terrible, inexplicable suffering, what was the point of being born in the first place? Hayom hahu, may that day yihi choshech, may it be darkness. Al yidrisheyu Elohim imal, let God not even pay attention to that day. V'al tofa olav nehara, and may its light not even shine upon it. In other words, Eov is saying, what is the point of me having been conceived? What is the point in me having been born? What is the point of me having lived this life if there is no justice and all I was meant to do was suffer in the way that I am? Yig'aluhu choshech v'tzal moves, tishkon alav anana. Let darkness and the shadow of death rest its cloud upon that day. Yiva'asuhu kimerire yam. Let the blackness of the day frighten that day away. Like Yiva'asu, may it be frightened away by the blackness and the awfulness of the day that I was born. Halayla ahu. As for that night, presumably the night upon which I was conceived, Yikochehu Ofel. Let darkness just blacken out that night. Ofel is a form of thick, deep darkness. Al yichad bimei shana. Let it not rejoice. Let it not be even mentioned among all the other days of the year. Bimispar yirochim al yavo. Let it not even be counted when people count the calendar days of the year. Let them skip that day. That day shouldn't even be mentioned. Hine halayla hahu yehi galmud. Let that night remain alone on its own, forsaken. Al tavo renona bo. Let no one be happy on that day. In other words, the day that was happy, that people rejoiced, that I was born, that I was conceived, let that never happen. It would have been better had it never happened. Yikvuhu orere yom ha'asidim orer livyasan. Let those who curse the day, curse that day. Those that in the future are going to wake up the Livyasan, the Leviathan. The Livyasan, the Leviathan, is a mythical creature that had a lot of play in the various mythologies of the ancient Near East. The Livyasan was often, we're going to see later, we'll talk a little bit more detail. It could mean a large crocodile or a large whale, depending on how you translate it, but it's some giant monster of the sea, which it came up in various forms in ancient Babylonian mythology, Canaanite mythology. It was this creature that, in Canaanite mythology at least, was a creature that needed to be destroyed in order for the world to be created. It was like the anti-god, so to speak, in their mythology. Remember, this is in the days of pre-monotheistic days. Those who wake up the Leviathan, someday in the future, the Leviathan will be awakened again in order for the world to be redeemed and to be awakened and then destroyed. So here, what Eov seems to be saying is, those who are looking forward to some future where the Leviathan will be awakened, I don't want to be a part of that future. It would have been better had I not existed. This path that the world is on, you know, towards some future, I don't need it. I don't want to be a part of it if this is what my life is about. Yechshechu kochvei nishpo. Yikav la'or v'ayin, v'al yireh bi'afapei shochar. Let the may the stars of the dusk, you know, the stars that come out at the end of that day, may they be blackened, right? May they look for light, but may they find no light. May those stars find no light. V'al yireh, so that. It doesn't even see the afapei shachar, so that those stars never come out and never go through the night and never see as the morning starts to break. Kilo sogar dalsei vitni vayaster amol me'enoi. Because why? Why should that day disappear? Because that day should have closed up the doors of my mother's womb. It should have hidden this trouble, this difficulty that I'm going through from my eyes. It should never have allowed me. In other words, the reason why they should mourn is kilosogar, because they did not close my mother's womb. And they did not hide this terrible suffering from my eyes. They could have just done it then. I could have never been born, and I never would have seen this. Lama lo meirechem amos. Why didn't I just die while I was in my mother's womb? Mi betan yatzasi vo egva. Maybe I should have just been born and just died right away. You know, it would have been so much easier had I never had to live this life that I'm living now. Madua kidmuni birkoyim. Why did I get knees, right? In other words, why did I, you know, learn to walk? Umasha daim ki inok. And why did I have to even have breasts to suckle on, to nurse from? Ki atosha chavti vo eshkot. Had I just died then, had I never been able to nurse and died, had I never been able to learn to walk and anything and just died as a child, I never would have lived then. And then ki atosha chavti v'ashkot, now I would just be dead v'ashkot, and I would be at peace, I would be in quiet. Yoshanti oz yonuachli. I would have just slept the sleep of death, and it would have been so much easier for me. Here, Eov begins to shift from cursing the day he was born to wishing for death. Im milachim v'yoatze aretz. I would be dead together with everyone, all the people that were the kings and the advisors of the land. Habonim charavos lamo, those people who built all kinds of they built up desolate places for themselves. They all talked about the achievements of their lives. In the end, they're dead. I would have just been dead with them, at peace with them. O im sorim zahav lahem hamimal im batehem kesef, or even those who had those sorim, those leaders, those officers who had all this gold and wealth, the ones who filled up their homes with silver. Or this another way of understanding it is they filling up their homes is those that filled up their death chambers, their tombs with silver and gold. In the end, but they're dead. They're just there in peace. I could have been the same with them, just lying at peace. Or I could have been like a nephel, a child that's born, who either a stillborn or passes right away, right? I was not like one of those, but I could have been. Ka'olim lo ra'u'or, like those children that are born preterm that have not seen any light. Shom risho'im chodlu roges. There, at peace in death, the evil people, chodlu roges, all of the trembling, all of the difficulties of life ended. They're all over. Visham yanuchu yigie koach. Those people who are exhausted from all their strength, they finally find rest there. Yachad asirim sha'anonu. There, those that are prisoners have peace together. Lo shamu kol noges. They no longer hear their oppressors, the people whipping them, the people pushing them. No longer do they hear them. In death, they find peace. Here, Eov is going through his terrible suffering, thinking, if only I would just die, it would just be over. Katon, remember, this is a process that Eov is going through. This is a normal process, thinking through things like this, even though they're very difficult to hear, they're very difficult, very painful, but these are you know, if I lost all meaning, I lost all purpose, and all I'm doing is suffering, because until this point, Eov's meaning was, if I do good, if I live good in this world, then I will have a good life, and I'll be able to enjoy all these things of life. But now I've done all this good, and I see that I still am suffering so terribly like this. What's the point? What's the purpose? I might as well just be dead. Katon v'gadol shamhu. Over there, the great ones and the little ones, they are both there in the same place in the grave. V'eved chavshi me'adonav. And the servant is free of his master once he's passed on. Lama yitain la'amel ar. Why is it that someone who is going to be an amel, one who lives in misery and torment, why is he given light? Why is he given the light of life? V'chayim l'mari nafesh. Why give life to people that live bitter, that live in suffering? What's the point of this? Eov is asking the ultimate question. Why do good people suffer? What's the point of giving someone life if all he's going to do is suffer? Ha'mechakim l'mavesh ve'enenu. Those people wait for death to come, but it doesn't come. Bayach peruhu mimatmonim. And they dig for death. They look for death. They seek an end more than people would even seek treasures. Hasmechim elegil yasisu kiyimtsu ukaver. Those people that rejoice, that are happy, right? Too much, right? Kiyimtsu ukaver. When will they find a grave? Legever asher darko. So, in other words, it seems to be saying here, those people who don't suffer, those people that that actually, I'm sorry, I stumbled on this pasuk, on this verse, but I want to translate it. There's different ways to understand this, but I'm going to go with the Metsudat David, who translates it. Those people that know what to be happy about, that are happy about real things to be happy about, when will they be happy? Yasisu kiim tzukavar, they'll be happy when they find a grave. Legever asher darko nistara. Now this verse is, it changes tone a little bit and starts to ask even deeper questions, even harder questions, even more poignant questions. Legever asher darko nistara, for a man who his path is hidden, right? Meaning, for a person that doesn't understand the meaning in his life, who doesn't understand why he's living the way he's living, what Eov is going through now, it is hidden to him. He can't look in his ways and find the sins that he's suffering for. He can't find a just explanation for why he's going through. So a person that can't understand what he's going through, a person that finds no explanation or reason for what he's going through, such a person, vayosech Eloha ba'ado, for someone from whom God has screened himself, has covered himself from him, right? Someone who looks for God but doesn't see him. He doesn't see the justice. He doesn't see the point. He doesn't see the reasons. For such a person, right? Why? What's the point? Ki lifnei lachmi an chasi tavo. For me, my suffering comes before I eat. Vayitchu chamayim sha'agosoi. And my screams pour out from me like water. In other words, it's before I even have a chance to eat, I'm already in pain. Ki fachad pocharati vayeesoyeni. For the thing which I have feared the most. And this is what's interesting, because this seems to go back on the time when Eov was wealthy, when he had everything, when life was going well. He even then always feared, what if one day this all is taken away from me, right? That fear that I have always feared my whole life came upon me. As long as I was living and it didn't come, it was just a fear. But now it's here. Va'asher yagorti, that which I was always afraid of, yavoli, has now come upon me. Lo shalavti v'lo shakatati v'lo nachti. I have no rest. I have no quiet. I have no repose. Va'yavo rogez, and the awfulness, the trouble, the difficulties have come. This is Eov's first words. Notably, Eov has not turned against God, but he has made the deep point that he feels abandoned by God. Like he said in the verse before, Vayosech Elo Abado, God has screened himself from me. I don't see the justice. I don't see the reason. All I see is the suffering. What's the point? I might as well just die. This is the terrible, terrible words and the terrible thoughts and feelings of Eov. And these are the natural things that a person going through something like this is going to go through. These are the kind of things that we all go through. And we are going to go through this process of Eov. Is Eov here expressing that feeling of giving up, that feeling that his wife and the Satan wanted him to have, that they were trying to say, you see, he's going to give up on God? Or is Eov not giving up on God? Ultimately, what we're going to find is that Eov is not giving up on God, but he's allowing himself to go through this process of thought, which we'll see as the rest of this this incredible book, this powerful, powerful book, as we study it together. Thank you so much for studying this chapter 3 of the book of Eov together. Looking forward to studying the rest of this book. Have a wonderful day.